Okay, I'll go through the instructions one more time before we get started. The URL for the page of notes for today's conference is mecgroups.com/MEC_research_log. And we'll ask you to refresh that page a few times throughout the conference as we add some data and other tables. Some key commands you'll find useful are *4 will increase the volume on your line if you're having any trouble hearing. *6 will mute your line if you're in a noisy room. And just to unmute your line if you have any questions is *6. And sometimes we'll go through and actually mute lines manually if there's any noise from the audience. So if you are muted, you just hit. There's a perfect example of when we would turn and mute a line. Get that. But I think that's all the instructions we'll need for now. I apologize for that noise. I'm trying to find that line that's causing the problem. If anyone is on a cell phone that might be causing that, if you could mute your line, that would be helpful. I think that took care of it. Upcoming research briefs, or upcoming web clinics, Wednesday, October 6th at 4 p.m. EST is linking strategies for your website. And Wednesday, October 20th at 4 p.m. is how to structure cross-selling on the web. If you'd like to participate in either of those, just send me a note at editor@marketingexperiments.com, and I'll get a spot for you. Also, our upcoming research briefs are testing eBay's new pay-per-click service, optimizing subscription revenue for your website, linking strategies for your website, and cross-selling on the web. So for those in October. At this time, we'll go ahead and get started on today's conference, Avoiding Unprofitable Pay-Per-Click Campaigns. And at this time, I'd like to introduce Dr. Flint McLaughlin, who will be our primary speaker. Dr. McLaughlin.
Okay. I want to welcome everyone, and we have quite a bit of data, so we're going to get right into it. The topic is avoiding unprofitable pay-per-click campaigns, how data analysis, bidding strategies, and 26 techniques that we have developed or have discovered can prevent lost revenue. And so, and I want to get into it. Let me just say, without even touching my notes yet, that most of the pay-per-click campaigns we look at are losing more money than the average merchant knows. Google and Overture are much better at math than most of us are, and they have very subtle factors built into their system. For instance, you notice that Google will give your ad a promotion, so to speak, in its ranking if it gets more clicks, which seems to be an advantage over Overture, but actually what it does is it puts more money in Google's pocket because it makes sure that more ads are getting clicked on. And so, you know, as I start this report, just want to point out that we didn't develop it because we thought, you know, we need to do something else on pay-per-click. We did it because after all the things we've already done and all the research we've already conducted on pay-per-click, and, as a note, we manage over $1 million a month in pay-per-click spending right now. And I say on Google alone, some of that's extended through campaigns that we run that are duplicated, but across the board, the Google spend budgets over $1 million a month. And in all of that work and research, the question would be, why another report on this? Is there anything new? And here's what's driving the delivery of this research to you today, and that is that the more often we look at a merchant's campaigns, the more we're shocked to discover that even large, smart merchants are not spending their money wisely on Google. They may be getting an ROI. They may even be making money, though many of them are not. Many of them think they are, and they're really not. But even if they're making money, they're not making the money they could be making. That the reality is they don't know truly how to get what the optimum bid should be, and so they're losing significant money and lost opportunity. With that in mind, I want to talk to you about several questions. The first one is, how can you tell if your pay-per-click campaigns are truly profitable? Many site owners spend thousands in their pay-per-click engines without knowing which of their campaigns are profitable. the which is very important because if you look at your Google campaign overall, all your campaigns together in an aggregate and try to determine what your cost per click is, you're missing out. If you can nail down the specifics of your individual campaigns and search terms, you can get far more value for the same marketing spend. In the first section of this report, we will present a number of test campaigns and analyze their profitability. Consider the following three pay-per-click search engines or search engine campaigns. And you should have a chart refreshed in your notes. In that chart, you'll notice that campaign A did 25,333 clicks. Campaign B did 20,204. Campaign C did 20,863. Now, if you follow the chart all the way across, you'll see what the pay-per-click fees were for each campaign, and you can kind of drill down on conversion rate and average order and total sales, but go on down to the return on investment numbers, and let's look at that for just a moment. What you need to understand is that the chart shows the campaign cost, the conversion rate, the net profit return on investment for three search engine campaigns, but campaign A was unprofitable. B and C both generated positive profit and ROI. And so two campaigns were profitable, but there's implications that you need to understand. Utilizing the data above, we were able to make the following evaluations. Campaign A was unprofitable. The high cost per click, that's 0.50 or 50 cents, and the conversion rate of 1.97 produced a loss of $3,042.50, and of course a negative ROI. Campaign would be halted and should be halted immediately, preferably before incurring a greater loss. However, this campaign could be made profitable if we either increase the conversion rate or the average order size, or we lowered the average cost per click, or we could raise the profit margin. I want to go on. I want to talk about the other two campaigns because there's a reason we showed you two campaigns and the difference in their that were profitable. I want to talk about that in just a moment, but I want to talk about this one that didn't make money at all and point out for you that the single greatest guarantee that you're going to do okay on pay-per-click, even if you don't do very much math, you don't do sophisticated analysis, and you don't know 90% of what we're going to talk about today, is making sure that you have a strong average order size with a strong profit margin. The reality is high-dollar products with strong profit margins are much easier to cash flow on your pay-per-click activities. And if you're starting a new product or you're developing a new product or you're trying to determine what to advertise in the engines, go for the high-dollar products with high margins and cover a multitude of cents. Which brings me back to the second main observation. And I'm going to talk about these observations from comparing these campaigns. I've got four key points, and we're going to look at some more metrics. Campaign B, now you recall it had a 22.80% ROI. Campaign B had a higher conversion rate and a larger average order. So this created a profitable campaign at the same cost per click as campaign A. So campaign B paid the same amount for its traffic, but because of its conversion ratio being stronger and because the average order was larger, it made money. Campaign C, look in that third column now, was perhaps the most interesting. Although it had a lower conversion rate, average order size, and net profit, it actually accounted for the best return on investment, 131.06%. That's a powerful return. You've got to factor that out, recognize that that's over a 30-day period, not a 12-month period, depending on how you do your math. Comparing campaigns B and C yields the most interesting insights. While the return, now both of these were the ones that made a profit, so carefully pay attention to this part. While the return on investment of campaign C was far superior to that of campaign B, let's compare that. If you look in the second to last column moving down the page, or second to last row, call it the last two columns, you'll see that the net profit for campaign B was about $2,300, and the net profit for campaign fee was $2,187, or about $2,200. So notice the profit, then trace your finger down and look at the return on investment. They only made 22% return on investment with campaign B, but there was 131% return on investment with campaign C. What's the insight that we want to gather from this? While the return on investment, or the ROI, of campaign C was far superior to that of campaign B, the net profit of campaign B was higher than that of campaign C. And so, in some sense, campaign C should make the following move. And it's very important. Again, pay care. If you watch this, you'll make some money. Now, by the way, if you don't know how to calculate all this, we're preparing a spreadsheet tool that we can put in your hands that will help you get an understanding of how to do it. Also, I have on the phone Aaron Rosenthal, who's an analyst with our team. And Aaron, feel free to interject and jump in at any time with your thoughts regarding the things we're talking about. Aaron is very keen on calculating the success of pay-per-click and has a lot of insights from doing so much of it. But I would suggest for you that if I were to review this chart and I were managing these three campaigns, instead of bragging about the fact that campaign C had a return on investment of 131%, I would ask myself a question instantly, and that is, am I underbidding on my terms? The reason is that in the end, it's not your conversion ratio, despite all the hoopla about conversion ratio, which is an important number. But hear me, it's not the most important number. It is an important number, but not the most important number. The most important number is how much money do you have left over at the end of the month, as in profit. And campaign B eked out a $2,300 profit on a 22% ROI. Campaign C eked out, had a marvelous return on investment, but a very low, but its profit was less than, it wasn't very low, but relatively speaking, it was less than the one that did 22%. So what should I do with campaign C? Raise my bids. Maybe. But I would test raising my bids, increasing my marketing spend, so that at the end of the month, if I drop that number down to 22%, but could triple the amount of profit, then I'd have a successful campaign that would have produced much higher numbers. So depending on the goals of your marketing efforts, you may deem either campaign A or campaign C more successful, but I vote for campaign B. It produced more net profit. On the other hand, it requires a larger outlay of cash and pay-per-click fees, but you're getting all that money back within 30 days. And so consider the things that we just talked about. On the other hand, campaign C produced a much higher return on investment because of the lower average cost per click, 8 cents versus 50 in campaign B. Again, the average cost per click was only 8 cents. Campaign B spent $10,000 on their pay per click, but campaign C only spent $1,600 or $1,700 if we round up things here. What's the point? The point is I'd raise that 8 cents a click higher and try to get more profit at the end of the month. So I'd like to point out that there's many ways to lose money in pay-per-click, and not the least of which is underbidding. And I'm sure Google would like to hear that, but the reality is you can lose money because, as in the case of campaign A, you just spent too much, or you can lose money, as in the case of campaign C, because you didn't spend enough. Comparing these campaigns show how total net profit and ROI exist in a disharmonious relationship. Sacrificing one may get you the other, but it often comes down to a question of how much you're willing or able to spend on pay-per-click fees. In fact, not in today's discussion, but in the final report that we release to you on this subject, we're going to also include another chart that shows almost a bell curve, and it will contradict probably everything you've heard or believed about pay-per-click. But it's done. The chart has been prepared from observing many campaigns side by side and noticing that there's a way to increase traffic and lower conversion and lower. Anyway, you're going to want to get that third chart. It'll be a bit controversial, but you should consider it because many of us don't truly understand how the math is working on our pay-per-click campaigns. So, in a nutshell, spending more money can often increase your total net profit but reduce your ROI. And that might sound, and I don't want to belabor the point because I want to move on to another question, but that might sound like, well, wait a second, what about ROI? Well, you know, if this was ROI over a 12-month period, and if you're factoring present value of money and you're looking at alternative investments and you're working in a portfolio fund in the, on the street, you might have a different take on this, but not when you're talking about pay-per-click and we're talking about a return that you really put back in your hands within 30 days. In the end, you want to make more money. So that brings me down to a key point. The most important element of determining profitability or ROI of a pay-per-click campaign is good metrics. Had a good metric solution in place, we would not have been able to generate the campaign comparisons above, and we would be left guessing at which of our pay-per-click campaigns was the most effective. So that brings me to a new question. And that question is, how can bidding strategies impact the profitability of your pay-per-click campaigns? But before I teach on that subject, does anyone have any questions about what we've just looked at? And am I being too complex? Have I lost you in these charts and numbers, or are you following me? Give me some feedback, please.
It's fine.
Good. Good. Any questions at all? All right, then I will move on. How can these bidding strategies impact the profitability of your pay-per-click campaigns? Consider the following chart. It shows first position and third position.
Hello?
Pay-per-click. Yes, hello?
Flint, I have a question.
Yes.
On campaign C, if we raise the expenditure to $10,000 like in campaign B and still retain the 131% return, wouldn't that be a better deal?
Campaign C be a better deal if we raise the expenditure? Is that what you're asking?
If we raise the expenditure to $10,000 like in campaign B, but still are able to maintain 131% return,
That's my whole point. My point is I don't know what to raise it to until I do a more detailed bid analysis. I would raise only certain keywords. I'd raise those with the most promise. There's a way to raise your bids in a smart way, and we developed a spreadsheet to help you figure that out. But the idea is, yes, you should spend more money. That's my point. On campaign C, you'll make more money that way. Your return will be lower, but you'll have more profit at the end of the month.
I understand. My question is it not possible to spend more money and still retain the same ROI?
That is a magical concept. Jagdish, on paper, the answer is, of course, yes.
Okay.
In reality, you're going to see a couple of factors that are going to impact that. Number one, for some reason, as traffic increases, conversion goes down. And we've seen this over and over again. But there's also a mathematical reason why you won't necessarily see what you've just said. And that is that when you increase your spend, you're assuming that you're going to keep your bids at the same price and just buy more terms. Other than that, you're going to have to increase your bids. If you increase your bids, then you're increasing your cost per sell.
Okay. Okay, got it.
Okay?
Yeah.
All right, so onward we go then. And that is to this next table, which Brian has refreshed. Please refresh your notes again. By the way, we deliver these papers in advanced publication in a format that we hope is easy to do and easy for you to follow. We may use some new technology to present notes to you in the future we're experimenting with right now, but using the current thing, just refresh your page. You're going to see a new chart. And if you'll consider this chart, it shows first position and third position pay-per-click bids for several keyword phrases. The first position for dental insurance is 2.54. Third position is 1.54. What you need to understand is that the table, the first position bids average nearly 50 cents higher than the third position bids, and which is very critical. We're going to talk about what the impact of that is in just a moment, but you're paying 50 cents more for first position over third position. And by the way, there's a tool that's in your notes. Brian, I don't think I'm going to go there now. But it's a bid tool that you can use that will help you calculate this. With that first chart, we're going to give you a spreadsheet that will help you figure out max bid. But for understanding bids, you may want to use this bid tool in Overture, for instance, to use it, and it's in your notes, and some of you are familiar with it, so we won't go there for now, but there is a link to that. Chart is an example of the kind of keyword analysis you can do before creating a pay-per-click campaign. We're going to talk about what to do afterwards in a minute. It will give you a good idea as to which terms are worth going after and which most are likely to be too expensive. But while many merchants try to target number one ad placement, this is sometimes ill-advised. Potential customers will often compare the first few links anyway, and are they getting the best deal, and do competitors have better products? In Google, there's a couple of positions that we are favored. Now, I don't have strong research for telling you this, but I am going to ask Aaron to comment on the positions that we like the most to be at in Google, and what we think produces the best yield. Aaron, go ahead.
I'm sorry, Flint. I didn't hear the question.
Our favorite positions in Google. Although it's hard to control where you're going to be in Google, just share with the group what you find to be the best positions to get, if you can, within Google.
Sure. It really depends on which niche you're in, but we've seen the number three position, especially when there are the premium positions, which are located on the top, and number three being the first one on the right-hand side, as really the best. Usually the best value versus conversion ratio.
Yes. Yes. So I'm not going to dwell too much on positioning because many of us are familiar with this, but it's important to note that sometimes you can pay more for a position that yields less. And in particular, be careful with those premium positions in Google 1 and 2 at the top of the search results. They may be good, and it's hard sometimes to stay out of them, but we think that sometimes number 2 is better than number 1, or would we say number 1 is better than number 2? Would you agree with that, Aaron?
Well, it completely depends upon is the individual looking for a specific product or a broad type term? Broad type term, you can usually do just as well conversion-wise further down the list, and the reason for that being individuals want to see what's out there. If you're using specific type terms, often the higher you get, the better you are going to convert because individuals know what they're getting, and unless they're searching for the best price, they're usually going to go with the number one or number two result.
Well, that another key point that I'd keep in mind, guys, when you're looking at your campaigns, we're running tests right now to see if you are trying to target specific traffic, very, very specific traffic, what is the advisability of placing price in your Google Ads? We're running tests on that right now, and we'll share that in a later report, but it has something to do with the psychology of the people that you're trying to attract to your site. And there are people who are surveying, and there are people who are ready to buy. One of the reasons the shopping engines, the comparison engines, have a higher conversion ratio is because they have a more qualified shopper who's seen more information when he clicks on your site and has already compared your site with others by virtue of the fact that they're compared side by side on the web page he's looking at. Can you somehow create that same effect in the pay-per-click engines and increase your conversion? And if you do increase your conversion, will you be sacrificing so much traffic that it's not worth it? We're running a test on those things right now. Let me go back to remind you, incidentally, there's a new chart that Brian's just refreshed, and this should be the third chart now. We extend the analysis of an individual keyword to 8 positions to illustrate a common trend that you can use to your advantage. You should see a chart there with first through 8th position cost. And the table above shows that the keyword bids for a given term. In the example above, a bid for 0.25 would only get you placement in the 8th position. Well, a bid for 0.26 would land you a 4th place position. So the difference in a penny is quite significant. And as you well know from other reports we've done, we might remind those of you that are new to this business, avoid round increments in your bidding. Don't bid at 0.10 or 0.25, but use odd numbers. I don't mean odd in the sense of even and odd, but use numbers that are 26, 27, 28 cent, 32 cents, those types of numbers. Bidding an extra penny or two can often create significant boost in your overall placement. Now, let me bring you to the beginning of a section that I may not be able to cover right now, but that is, in keeping with all of this, what are the best techniques you can use to optimize your campaigns? And I want to kind of move through a list of these things and talk about them with you. The first one is straightforward, and it's point number one. Focus on the most relevant keywords. These terms will simply convert better than words or phrases that are not as appropriate for your offer. Basically, if you trace what's happening in a pay-per-click campaign, the first thing is for someone to see your ad, that's impression, and the next thing is for them to click through on your ad. The next thing is they go to your landing page, and you want them to click an order. And out of that, there's two big issues for you. One is click-throughs, and the other is conversion. And conversion is going to be most impacted by your terms and your landing page. If you bring people in under the wrong terms, they're going to get to your landing page, and it's not the product they want. If you bring the people in under the right term, but you have a landing page that's not proper, then or ineffective, then you're still going to have low conversion. Whereas click-throughs are primarily affected by the quality of your ad copy and what the price you're paying per click is. So you want to control those four elements, term, landing page, ad copy, and bid per click, very carefully. And optimizing those elements are how you really focus on optimizing a campaign. And one of the first things you want to do is get extremely relevant keywords. The more specific your term, the higher your conversion. Now, mind you that a higher conversion will mean lower traffic. It will mean often you'll get lower impressions on that page, which means lower click-throughs. Not click-through ratios, but lower people who see your landing page. So get very relevant keywords. And, of course, once you find terms that are successful, and I won't get into this because we've talked about this in other studies, you need every possible form and variation of that powerful word tested. If the desired word is too expensive, now this is very good. We do this all the time. Break that keyword down and go after words that are more specific. Identify the words that receive less traffic but can be purchased for less money. Do not be afraid to go after very, very specialized terms. The most specialized terms may only see minimal traffic, but they have the capability or the potential of high conversion, and typically the sales through is much easier. As we've said in other reports, focus broad, not just deep. Rather than focusing on getting the number one position for a few keywords, purchase as many relevant keywords as possible. 200 terms at 10 cents a click will usually perform much better than 15 terms at 50 cents a click. And for almost any retailer we work with, we have thousands of search terms. You can also get other potential terms. Overture, Google, and Tioma will help you. And there's three links that we provided in your notes. What are the numbers of those links, Brian?
Those are links 3, 4, and 5 in the notes.
All right. And you can use those to get other suggestions. Most of you are familiar with that. Again, I'm trying to be sensitive to the more sophisticated listeners and also to those that are new. But number 4 in my notes is very critical, and it's missed by, I would say, most of the retailers that we deal with. Utilize an opt-in email strategy on your landing page, particularly as something, you know, I know that Google doesn't let you use pop-ups, but there are some things you can do, and we've already done briefing on this with certain rollover technology. Here's what I see happening a lot. You spend a lot of money to get someone to your site, you get one chance at them, and then you don't see them again, and you have to buy or pay basically to get them back by buying traffic again or buying them again in the pay-per-click engines. That's a mistake. If you can capture a percentage of the people that come to your site, you can dramatically reduce your overall cost per click, because once you've got them, you can continue to mail to them and continue to build relationships with them and get them to place an order, if not on the first visit or the second or third visit. Anybody running right now campaigns in the pay-per-click engines, I'm making a generalization, as a general rule, anyone running campaigns in the pay-per-click engines that is not capturing email addresses in at least two ways off the landing page is probably losing significant money on their campaigns. It's impacting return on investment. There's still, despite all the things you're hearing, despite all the issues with spam, permission-based opt-in email is still powerful and, in fact, in a survey done by Gartner, 78% of the companies surveyed said it's their most effective way to market. And 78% say they are using it in some form or another of the companies that are out there right now being served and doing well, and an effective rate in the percentile of 90-some percent, 92 or 95%, said it was highly effective. It was the number one way still on the net right now to generate sales. So don't mistake that. Brian, you need to get those stats for me for this report. Number five, create customized landing pages for specific keyword bids. Now, we've done a whole report on how to do this, and the link is number what, Brian, in your notes right now?
Which report?
The landing page report.
Landing pages brief is number six in the notes.
Number six in your notes. That link number tells you how to do and customize landing pages, but one of the best ways to refine a campaign that's starting to get mature and you're trying to figure out new ways to make money with it is to take your high-performing terms, create landing pages optimized for those terms with the actual search term that you used in Google, that you bought in Google or Overture, in the headlines of the landing page, and with that page customize as much as possible for the traffic that's coming in from those engines. A higher click-through rate is, you know, so anyway, just let me just stop and say that's enough for that, but customize your landing pages. Number six, focus on developing clear, effective ad copy, and there's some ways to do that. And I want to talk about something new here. This is something we've not released in reports that you may find useful or helpful. On your ads analysis, one of the things you can do is create what's called a key ads analysis. You may have thousands of words being advertised, and you know how to analyze all those ads. So what you need to be able to do is to focus on the ads that matter the most. We recommend that you, first of all, look at ads that have high impressions but low click-through rates, meaning a term that gets lots of clicks on the page but are lots of views of the page, but not very many click-throughs. These are lots of times the ads that Google has turned off automatically for you, in the case of Google. But they may, if they're high-impression ads and the search term is relevant, then you may have an ad copy problem. I want to say that again. If the term is relevant and the page is high impressions, you may need to rewrite your ad copy. And if so, you found a really high performance ad or a real high performance search term that you've been missing out. The other thing is to pick ads that are working well, but they have low impression. In other words, the click-through is high, but the impressions are low. In that case, you want to figure out every variation that you can possibly get of that term and utilize those terms to increase the amount of sales on your site. So get that effective copy, and we're going to be doing a whole study on Google ad copy and everything we're looking at it related to, and Overture's ad copy with specific all kinds of tools about it. One of the things we also recommend that you do, by the way, when you're analyzing your ads, is go in, find your competitors, and it's very easy to find. We're talking about the competitors in the engine. Get everybody else in the top five positions in Google and or Overture, and actually get a copy of their ads off the site, get their ads and side by side, and get all their landing pages side by side, and look at their traffic rankings in Alexa, and start to study what they're doing with their ads and with their landing pages, and compare them precisely with your ads and your landing pages. You might have 10 different competitors. I recommend that you don't try to do this by doing back button on your browser, but that you either put them all in a single document or you print them and cover a whole wall in your office with their ads and your ads and compare them side by side, studying the competitive advantages that they may or may not have or that you have, and looking for ways to improve what you're doing. So keep that in mind when you're analyzing your ads. Also, make sure that you're utilizing your value proposition in your marketing strategy. This may sound obvious, but bear with me for a moment, and I'll explain this to you. You should have one factor about your product that makes you the best choice out of all the choices out there. It may not be every factor. You may be equal to your competitors in every dimension of value but one. But in one dimension of value, you're better. I'll give you an example. And you're equal to them on service. By the way, service is not what I'm talking about. For most products, unless they're heavily service-oriented products, having good service is a threshold expectation of every customer. And when you tell me your value proposition is just quality service, what you're really saying is I don't have a value proposition, so I'm trying to be nicer to my customers than my competitor. Being nicer to your customers than your competitor is not enough reason to exist in the marketplace, because my background and training is in philosophy. Logically, there's a fallacy built in because it assumes you're going to have a customer. You have to have a customer to be nice to a customer, but you need a reason to get a customer on the front side. And being nice to them, and I'm being a little bit, when I use the word nice, I'm simply using I'm really talking about customer service, but I'm trying to stylistically point out that being nice is not enough. Refunding their money promptly is not enough. Having people that answer the phone is not enough. In one dimension of value, you need to excel. Either your product needs to be better for one niche in the market than everybody else's because it has a certain widget attached to it that nobody else has, or because yours has a unique software offering nobody else has, or because yours bundles a complete package, which nobody else does, or because yours has a better price, which nobody else has, or because, you know, I could go down the list, or because you might be the only person that has the product. You've sewn it up. You have an exclusive. You might have a site that, I mean, why do things get sold at an antique store? Simply because somebody has that antique and it may be hard to find anywhere else, and so it's a hard-to-find product. It also might be that your value proposition is aggregate, meaning it isn't the single product, but you have a greater selection, for instance, than everybody else. It's the aggregate of all your products that formulate your value proposition. If you happen to have 43,000 different types of candles on your website, then my point would be, in your pay-per-click advertising, you let the world know you have 43,000 candles on your website. Don't do it, Mrs. Point 8, with hype-laden ads, a hyperbole, we have the most, we're the fastest, we're the best. For one thing, Google will disallow it. But even before Google disallowed these things, or before that was the issue, I was saying don't do it because nobody believes it. Tell me you have 43,000 candles, and I'm going to shop. I'm telling you, I'm going to pick your store over somebody else's because I'm going to assume that you've got what I'm looking for, and I'll have a better chance of getting what I really want, and I have a wider selection to shop with. And so figure out what your reason for existing is in the marketplace and hammer it home with every piece of marketing that you have out there. And if you don't have that value proposition, don't kid yourself. You've got a long, hard road, and your competitors, you know, you're not going to occupy a dominant position in your market. You're not going to be number one or number two very long, likely, because you don't have that strategic lever that you need to be there. Now, if at all possible, create a genuine sense of, well, I'm going to stop because I'm not going to stop completely. I'm going to just take a few more of these and cover them with you because the rest, more of this will be released in the report that I have for you coming out. And they'll be better read than explained over the telephone. So let me talk about some of those. You want to use not just negative keywords. I think most of our audience knows what negative keywords are. Essentially, they're words that you want to use in to tell Google that you don't want any clicks when people come in on a search phrase that has that word in it. So with that in mind, many of us have learned that. We're not utilizing it well, but if you utilize it well, you'll really improve your return on investment. But something else called smart display URLs and geo-targeting. Are all of us familiar with smart display URLs and geo-targeting? Hello?
Yes.
Are we all familiar with that? Should I take a moment and talk about that, or should I move on?
Yes, talk about it.
Pardon me, talk about it?
Yes.
Okay. Aaron, talk for a moment about smart display URLs. I'm sure he's unmuting for a moment. Aaron.
Hello? Hi.
Are you there, Aaron Rosenthal? Smart display URLs. Tell us about smart display URLs. We've got a technical problem reaching Aaron. One of my team members, please check out an alternate to see if you can reach him quickly. We're all in he's in the same building with me, but he's down the hallway, so we'll have someone check and make sure his phone system's all right.
Hey, Flint?
Yes.
Okay.
There you are.
I'm back on. Sorry, you couldn't hear me for some reason.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay. The smart display URLs, I believe, for smart display, I believe what you're referring to, I'm not familiar with the terminology, actually, but I believe what you're referring to is dynamic title placement?
Yes.
Okay. And what this is basically when an individual is looking for a particular keyword or a that is short enough to actually fit in the title of a Google AdWords ad, you can set up Google AdWords. Google now allows you to copy that keyword that's being searched, capitalize it, and throw it into the title of a Google AdWords ad.
Headline.
For example, correct. For example, if the term being looked for was memory PC 133, and somebody typed in memory PC 133, rather than showing a generic copy computer memory, your particular
headline
ad would actually capture what was searched for and throw it into the headline, the title headline of that Google AdWords ad.
Now, many people aren't taking advantage of this, and it's a very powerful way to improve click-through and get more people to your site. Essentially, specificity is the key, and by getting the specific search term that someone utilized reflected in the actual headline of your ad, you dramatically improve your chances of getting click-through. The negative part of that is if you've got three competitors on the same page doing that, you can have very similar headlines. And so you've got to watch that, but that's why you do these competitive analysis, and it's an effective tool that can help you. The geo-targeting, most of us are familiar, has to do with regional, turning off and on which regions your ads display in. And
right, actually,
you can – go ahead, Aaron.
Oh, and actually, you can target into a specific city or a state, or if you have a real estate company that's located in New York City, New York, you can have your ads only show up in New York City, New York, or surrounding areas based on how many miles away you actually want it from your center of the city.
Now, again, that can make a significant impact on what your cost per click is and help you narrow down and target the precise, correct traffic that you need. It's a very powerful tool. And you can read more about that. We've done an ad on that, and we've done a report on that, and specifically on these things. What's the link number for that, Brian?
The Google AdWords report is link number 8 in the notes.
Link number 8 is, remember, you can just click straight through to it and read more on that subject matter. So I'm going to stop. There's 14 in this first section, and there's another 15 through 26 that you'll get in the final report that will go into more information for you. Jeremy Brookins, who works also as an analyst with us, had some critical insights that we've added to this report in this second section that you should check out. But also, there's a strong literature review attached to this report that we're going to send out with you so that you can see basically a rating of the best sites on the net with additional information that will help you in your profitability questions and the success of your campaigns. Does anyone have any more questions for us? And some of our reports, the nature of the report provokes lots of questions, and others people are still digesting, and I'm fine either way. But if there are any questions, let me address those right now before we close out this session.
Yes, I have a question.
Yes.
Question is, what click tracking analysis tool you recommend for us to do the ROI?
What tracking program?
Yeah.
Is that what you're asking?
Yes.
We use a variety of things, but one of the programs we use the most, because we can be used in Yahoo stores as well as in regular offline sites, is Keyword Max. And that's keywordmax.com, Aaron?
Yeah, keywordmax.com. You can also find it by going through Direct Response. They're a direct response company.
Yeah, they're owned by Direct Response. And they have been one of the more reliable. Direct Response is a pretty large company. And so they've had the pockets to keep Keyword Max developing with the market changes. And we find them to be good. There's a good control panel. And it's a good choice.
Is that
any other question?
ASP-based, or you can buy the software and run that on your server?
It's a hosted solution.
The hosted solution.
Okay. Very similar to Website Story?
Yes, Website Story is a log file analyzer as opposed to this is JavaScript tracking specifically for pay-per-click campaigns.
Okay.
Any other questions?
I have a question.
Yes.
Bryant. I first was wondering about, I didn't hear where to get the information on the smart tag or the where it'll put the search term inside your AdWords.
Okay.
Exactly, you get the information for that?
Yeah, do we have a link to that? If we don't have a link to that, we'll be releasing that information in our report. Does anybody on my team have a quick answer to that? And if you'll email us directly, support@marketingexperiments.com, we'll send you a direct link, the link that we'll use in our report on helping you figure out, you know, how to use that or where you can access those things.
Okay.
There is, and also we'll send you a link to our, you already have the link to our report that talks about these things, and that's link number again. What link is that, Brian?
The Google report?
That's link number 8. I believe the function you're talking about is within the Google interface itself. I'm not sure if Aaron knows for sure, but
it is.
I haven't.
And but I mean, our reports talked about it. You can get it in Google, and we can also send you a link to it.
Okay. So I'll find that offline. Have y'all used the Google conversion tracking yet to do any of your conversion tracking? And have you found out?
Yes, we have. Aaron may want to, because he's our analyst that has oversaw that. I know in our initial test we found it unreliable, and we don't depend on it. Is there anything new on that, Aaron? Since our last test?
There have been several updates. Talking with them, they're pretty confident in it. That said, you know, it's always nice to have a third-party solution.
Right.
And there's enough inexpensive solutions out there that you can have set up that are just there to double-check what Google or what Overture or what I think Shopping.com offers it as well. So,
I mean, it's one of those questions when you ask Google to tell you, you know, how your campaign's performing, it's like asking the IRS to tell you how much money to send in each year. No. I'd rather have an accountant that, you know, figure it out than let them tell me. And that's the one thing I'd keep in mind. Although I'm not questioning their honesty, you know, it's just a question of controls. Yeah, good controls. Same thing goes, and we may have Google on this phone call, so I don't want to make you mad at me, Google. But the same thing goes for their optimization service. Google will come in and recommend and offer to optimize your campaigns. Now, we've tracked what they do when they do this, and we've compared it to what we're doing when we optimize a campaign. And there's one significant difference.
Yeah.
Their optimization always results in spending more money and not necessarily earning a higher return on investment. So I'm not saying it's not good. In fact, we're talking with him now with a research project, and they may have something. But I know it wasn't very good in the beginning. It may have improved some now, and yet, you know, asking Google to optimize your campaigns may not be a bad thing to do as long as you don't rely on that only or rely on them only, because they have a different set of interests than you do, and they also don't have full access to all your information. Any other questions? Okay. Listen, I appreciate your your trust, and we're going to be sending this report out along with recording, which you can listen to, and we value you guys. So let us know if there's any more we can do for you, and thank you again.
Keep up the good work.
Thank you very much.